Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you and welcome.
We give God praise and we are excited tonight to come to you once again talking about marriage. We are here with an exciting topic tonight. We are excited about this one.
Yes.
So tonight we're talking about his needs, her needs. It's going to be, get your seatbelts on because it's going to be, you're going for a ride tonight and we're going to have a good time talking about this topic, which it has been a blessing to us to study this and have grown in this area of finding out my wife's needs and she finding out my needs and vice versa. And we think that what we share tonight is going to help you in some way to recognize how you and your spouse, you and your husband, you and your wife can stay adequate in the area of meeting each other's needs, because it's such a vast topic, but we're going to try to hit some key points, because I think when somebody say his needs, her needs, we know men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and immediately I think people go to the sexual need.
Mm-hmm.
And we may touch on that tonight,
yeah.
Or we may say that for the intimacy show, but there are emotional needs, that there are mental needs, there are obviously physical needs, the sexual needs, and how about spiritual needs?
Yes.
All these come into play when marriage is at stake and when marriage is at hand, that so many people feel as though their needs are not being met. And we want to talk about that tonight. So tell somebody about this broadcast. Get your spouse, get your husband, get your wife. Y'all come watch this together, listen together. And maybe something that we share tonight will help you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to share. What I want to do before we jump in, I want to say hello to everyone and welcome. Welcome. Along with my husband, we are excited about tonight. We're excited about what we're going to hear tonight. We ask that you tag and share. Let somebody know that we are live and we're going to be talking about marriage on tonight. We're excited about what we're going to be sharing, his needs, her needs, and anything in between. We never know how God is going to lead us, but we're going to start out talking about his needs and her needs, and then we're going to jump on, talk about some of the things in between. If you have questions, you can put them in the comments. I'm trying to go on to the page now. So what I want you to do is just take a minute and share this video. Take a minute and tag this video and let somebody know, and I'm going to do the same thing. I'm actually going to share this video. I'm looking for the video on our page. I'm going to share the video. Yes, I see it here. And I'm going to share the video myself. Here we go. We're going to share. I'm going to share this to my personal page and let people know that we are live. And I ask you to spread the word, because we're only going to be here for an hour.
Yes, one hour.
We're going to be here for 1 hour, and we're going to be talking about marriage on today. So, honey, I have shared it to my page, and I hope those who are watching us have shared it as well. So let's jump right in.
We're going to jump in. You know, there are so many needs of the male and the female in a relationship. My wife is going to hone in and focus in on a woman's needs. And even as I have taught this to the opposite sex of women, I narrow it down to the three A's, and maybe she'll bring another spin to it. But I have learned through my wife and through my daughters and through the women that I care about, number one, they need affection. Number two, they need affirmation. And number three, they need attention. And as far as men, I can tell you, being a man, I always tell women, especially the wives, that man needs respect. Needs respect. Need,
yeah.
Not want. He needs it. Number two, are you ready?
Yeah.
He needs, not wants. He needs sex. He needs it. He needs it. And I would add the third thing, food. I mean, we can keep going sports and other things like that, but respect, sex, and food, that man, that husband, if you want a content husband, if you want a happy husband, you go ahead and satisfy those three needs and watch you have a happy home and a happy marriage. You want to dive in there, babe, when I talked about affirmation, affection, and attention, is that true? Am I anywhere in the ballpark?
Yeah, you're close. You know, it's hard to put women's needs in a nutshell.
Right.
You know, because women, we're intricate creatures. You know, we're complicated. You know, it's very hard sometimes to begin to define and understand. That's why the Bible tells the husband to live with the wife in full understanding.
Right.
And I want to say God bless you. I see you, Deacon Carmen. I see you, Sister Daniela. God bless you. It's good to see you. You know, and the thing about it is that women, we definitely need attention, you know, from our husbands. You know, it's one thing to get attention. You know, we're beautiful. Women are beautiful. You know, we're beautiful creatures. When God made the woman, he broke the mold.
All right. All right, ladies.
He broke the mold. So that's one thing that we have to know, that we have to know that we're beautiful. We have to know our identity as women. So when it comes to women's needs, it's important to know, yes, we do need attention, but not just attention from any man. You know, because men are physical. Men see a beautiful woman walking down the street, or a woman with tight clothing, or a woman exposing her body walking down the street. He's going to turn to pay attention. But what a woman in a marriage, a wife needs, is attention from her husband. You know, for her husband, when she spends time getting beautified, that wife wants to know when she comes into the room that her husband will look at her and say, wow, man, you know, you look beautiful, baby. Honey, you look really nice. Because a lot of times we're spending that time, and our first reaction that we get, we want it to come from our spouse.
Right.
So I know the women can agree with me on that. So we do need attention.
And can I piggyback on that and
yeah,
really talk about it? Because when we're dating,
yeah,
when we're getting involved with one another, we're putting on our best dress.
Mm-hmm.
We got the cologne and the perfume on. We're well groomed.
Yeah.
She's going above and beyond, getting ready with the makeup and the hair. And we have that because guess what? It's not just infatuation, but it's attraction. There is a physical attraction that goes on in those initial parts of dating.
Yeah.
Sometimes we caught each other eye because of what we saw.
Yeah.
I met my wife and she came into the bar that night, and guess what? There were a lot of women in the bar, but I was attracted to Pastor Rebecca. How she looked,
oh,
her makeup.
You saw me in your heart
style. Oh, here we go.
You saw me.
She had it going on.
Yes, I have.
Her hair, her makeup, her perfume.
I think she had
on heels. She looked good that night.
Yeah.
And guess what? That got my attention. And sometimes when we get later on in marriage, we have to, again, we're going to talk about solutions. We don't just want to come on here and point out the problem. Our objective is over these next few Mondays is to bring you solutions. It sometimes takes even more effort when you later on in marriage. We've been married for 24 years. And you can begin to take each other for granted or assume we're not going anywhere, so I don't have to put on my best. And she seen me not shaved before. She seen me not have my hair cut and see me not at my best. But guess what? I want her to look at me, and she wants me to look at her always. So we got to go above and beyond in the preparation stage, not saying, oh, that's just him, that's just her. You know.
Don't take each other for granted.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That is so key.
Yeah.
And another thing, when you talk about the area of attention, and I've seen it in my daughter as well, again, you go when you put on something new, you know, you buy a new blouse, you have a new fragrance on, you want that man to notice. And when he notices, it does something to your, you know.
It's actually a sign that your husband is still paying attention. Mm-hmm. You know, so when he doesn't notice, it kind of like makes a woman feel like, oh, he's not paying attention to me. Especially if he's a man that is looking at other women. You know, I mean, God forbid, I want to say this to the men. Make sure that your wife is the one that puts the gleam in your eye. Make sure that you're always telling your wife that she's beautiful. Women go through so much in marriage. See, people don't understand that the wife, she's the helpmeet. So she takes a lot of the brunt of the warfare that comes against the marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, the enemy does not want that marriage to work. There's the enemy to your marriage. The enemy does not, the devil does not want your marriage to work.
Right.
So what happens is because the wife has been sent to help the husband, she takes a lot of the warfare and she does a lot of the work. So a lot of times, the wife is running the household. She's making sure the house is clean, the meals are cooked, the kids are taken care of. She's making sure that she's praying for her husband. She's sometimes paying the bills. Sometimes she's out there working, just like her husband is. And it's not always easy with all of that going on for her to always be dressed up with makeup and hair done and nice clothes when the husband comes home. Sometimes she's just tired and she may have a moment when she's not looking her best.
Right.
That's, I believe, Pastor, that's even the most important time for that husband to show some appreciation for his wife. Look beyond the outward and just see the inner beauty and say, honey, you're beautiful. I love you. I appreciate you. Those words mean so much.
I'm so glad you touched on that because sometimes when we pay attention to the small details,
yeah,
the small thing.
Yeah.
And as you talked about that man, I want to speak to the men. Sometimes we have to make a covenant with our eyes.
Yes.
A covenant with our eyes.
Talk about that.
You know, yes. Because as my wife said, we are physical.
Yes.
And sometimes in our day, you can look at the fashion designers and see how they're making clothes nowadays.
Mm, mm, mm.
Sometimes it's even hard to find clothes that are modest.
Mm, mm, mm.
And that's just the industry. They're making things that are revealing. They're making things that are sexual. They're making clothing. They're literally intentionally making clothing that's enticing. And as a husband, when we make that covenant with our eyes and that agreement with our eyes, guess what? She's not catching us. You don't have to punch you and say, what are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
You know, over here. I'm over here.
Yeah.
So we got to pay attention to the small details. And this man, as she start making a baby, as maybe she might put on a little weight,
yes,
and she may age and may not be what she used to be,
yes,
that is not time to speak the truth in love. That's not time.
That's right.
Not saying lie, but you got to be real careful in what you're saying to either build her up, not tear her down, but to build her up. Whether it's clothing, whether it's her physical appearance, marriage, you got to build each other up. And that's why his needs, her needs, I want to go to that next point of affirmation. She needs to be affirmed.
Yeah.
Like Valentine's Day is coming up. My wife, in the earlier years, always got roses, always got chocolate, always got candies and cards. And then she gave me a good tip on how I can build my daughter's self-esteem up.
Yeah.
Before she get a boyfriend, before she get a husband, give her some chocolate. Give Kayla some candy. Give her a flower every now and again so she can know what it feels like. Like, wow, he cares about me, went out of his way to give me a greeting card, to give me some candy and flowers. Guess what? I'm affirming my love for you. Not just in words, but this is an affirmation that I care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying I love you. I'm going to demonstrate and show you that I love you.
Yeah, and that's just so important. As we talk about affirmation, I just want to piggyback off of the wife and the attention part. I don't want to move past that too quickly because you talked about when we start having babies and we start gaining weight. Yes, when we do, there is a fact that
I just want to say this.
Yes, women, it is a fact that we carry a lot of weight life-wise. Not body wise. We carry a lot of weight life wise. We do a lot, you know, for our families. I talked about that. And then, like Pastor said, we have babies and we do gain weight, even if we're not having babies. We are seasonal with our weight. Come on, women. We are seasonal with our weight. Our weight goes up and down.
I think the women are agreeing with you, guys.
We are seasonal. God bless you. I see you out there, Maria. We are seasonal with our weight. Our weight goes up and down. And like you said, we're not going to be a perfect 10 most of the time. Most of the time, we're not going to be a size 10. We may not be the size that man met us at 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 5 years ago. So I want to say to the women, I'll say this to the women, don't let yourself go. You know, love yourself at every weight.
Amen.
And don't allow the attention or lack of attention from your husband to make you give up or to be the cause of you taking care of yourself, to make you give up on taking care of yourself or to be the cause of you taking care of yourself. Love you for you. I want to say this to the women. Love yourself. You know, before you can be a wife, you have to be a woman of God who loves and honors herself because she knows that she is wonderfully and fearfully made. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You got to know. You have to know your value for yourself so that when your husband, and he will, when your husband stops paying attention, not because he doesn't love you, not because you're not attracted to him.
It's a man thing. It's a man thing, ladies.
So when he stops paying attention, you have it in yourself. I am beautiful. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. You have your own swag. When you know that when you walk in the room, you know, you don't have to be competitive or jealous of another woman because you got your own swag, amen, and you are confident in the fact that you are created in the image of God, amen, that you're wonderfully and fearfully made. So I just want to say that take care of yourself. Eat right. Exercise. If you have some extra pounds that you need to get off, go ahead and get those extra pounds off. Be the best you that you can be at all times. Single ladies, even as you're preparing for marriage, be the best you that you can be at all times. And definitely, definitely do not get married and slack off. What it took to get that man is going to have to take the same thing to keep him.
I want to say that too for the men.
Yes.
I have equipment in my basement. My wife joined the Planet Fitness and encouraged me to come with her, and I finally went. But she had already made up in her mind, I'm going to get back in shape. And guess what? After I went through my battle with cancer, my body wasn't the same. I couldn't do the same things I wanted to. But guess what? There were certain things I wanted to start doing to keep her, Pastor Rebecca, and to keep my wife, Rebecca, attracted to me. So sometimes when
come
she
on,
say, you know,
on.
Even on Sunday, we're pastors. Like, you know, you stop wearing your suit jackets. You stop wearing, you know, certain things. And you'll see me now with a blazer or a nice shirt and tie every now and again because I don't want to not have her looking at me. I want her to always pay attention to me. So when I shave and groom myself and go out of my way to do sit-ups and start lifting again, guess what? I want her to give me those compliments by grabbing my biceps. I want her to say, oh, I see you trimmed down. When I start doing sit-ups again, because she'll tell me, jokingly now, this is why I say you got to watch your word, his knees, her knees.
Yeah.
She'll jokingly say, you know, them pants kind of tight around the waistline there. What's going on?
Yeah.
So she'll jokingly saying it, and we have that good sense of humor, and I hope you have that as well, his knees, her knees, because you really want to stay attracted one to another.
Yes.
Not that you're inferior and insecure or threatened by any other man or woman out here, but you want that marriage to be strong. You want that union to stay strong and that attraction, that infatuation, that love one for another, that desire for each other, you want that to stay intact.
Yes, exactly. So it's important to put forth the effort from both sides. You know, what we really need from each other is for both parties to really continue to be totally invested in the marriage. You know, not to get married and say, oh, I got him now. I don't have to do my hair. Oh, I got her now. I don't have to show her any affection. I don't have to affirm her.
Right.
So we were talking about affirmation, you know, and affirmation is pretty much in the lines of attention, you know, like telling that wife how great she is, telling that wife how much you love her, and recommitting yourself to her on a regular basis. So even with trust, sometimes trust is lost in the marriage. Affirmation plays a big part in getting that trust back, because a man who loves a woman.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but trust is a need.
Trust is a need. It's a need.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Trust is a need in marriage.
Yes.
I have to trust her.
Yes.
She has to trust me.
Yes.
It is a need, not a want. It's a need.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Trust is a need. It's definitely a need, and it goes with affirmation. Sometimes, man of God, my brother, you will have to allow your wife to push you constantly to prove to her that you love her and that she's the only woman for you. See, that woman wants to be the only one. She doesn't want to be second or third. She wants to be number one. She wants to be the only one. You know, she wants to know that she is the apple of your eye. She wants to know that you only have eyes for her. She wants to know that there's no other woman in the world that you would rather be with than to be with her. So that affirmation is so important. Not that she has low self-esteem.
Right.
You know, if she sees you talking to another woman and she says to you, I don't want you talking to her anymore because I don't like the way she kept touching you. Or I don't like the way she was looking at you. I don't like the way she made you laugh. It's not that she's insecure or jealous. It's just that she's picking up something that you can't see. See, men are sometimes oblivious to the fact that a woman is flirting with them, especially when that man is married and he's not interested in that woman.
And again, you have to be honest with each other and what bothers you, what ticks you off, what's your triggers. Because we had male and female friends before we got together. We had things going on, but guess what? She needed to be, as she said, a priority.
That's right.
And what happens, babe, with that affirmation, I don't want to leave that too quickly, because in marriage, we must build each other up.
Yeah.
We got to exhort and encourage each other. You know, when she became an author and a publisher, wanted to leave Merrill Lynch to help raise our children the right way, we took a hit in our finances. But guess what? Our children would have better because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down and we talked, and we as a husband and wife needed our children to be well off. So guess what? It became a need. It became something that we sacrificed, and we said we want this. We need our children to be well raised. So guess what? We're going to sacrifice an area of money. You're going to leave Merrill Lynch, and she did work, you know, every now and again in those seasons. But for the most part, Pastor Rebecca left her career at Merrill to be that stay-at-home mom, to be there when our kids were at this crucial age in high school and elementary school. And before we get to the affection part, because I think we both need that affection, and women probably need it more so. Like the other day, I'm shoveling snow. I told my wife, my back hurts, and she began to rub my back. And it's something about a little TLC, brothers. Woo-hoo! Glory, I feel the Holy Ghost. But when she began to just show me attention, not only, you know, she gets a little stressed with her work and her career and the pressure of the day, and she's like, just rub my shoulder. You know, but we're not going to go there right now. After we get off the air, I'm going to give her a little neck massage.
Oh, you definitely are.
But that, all that is affection.
Yes.
The little hug, the little pecks in the kitchen. She would tell me way back in the day, make love to me in the kitchen before we get to the bedroom.
Hey, bring it back.
Need.
No, not but, literally make love in the kitchen. What? See, somebody got us on the kitchen table right now. No.
You're going to clear it up.
Begin to set the mood in the morning in the kitchen over breakfast before we get to the bedroom at night. So that's the affection. You know, affection is for, we're talking to grown folks. Then the hearts are going up, Pastor. Affection, foreplay, you know, in marriage. Foreplay, the sex in marriage for women.
Flirting.
Because flirting, looking into each other's eyes, laughing with each other, touching each other, non-sexual touches.
Little touches, right.
That's affection. You know, don't get to the bedroom. Don't ignore me all day and then get to the bedroom and start tugging on me. You know, it's like, you know, get off. Like, you know, but we can't really do that either, because it comes to a point where you as the wife have an obligation to the husband, as well as the husband has an obligation to the wife. We're talking to Christians. If I'm talking to Christians, for Christians, we have to give due benevolence to each other. So that's part of his needs and her needs. Yes, he said men need sex. Women also need sexual affection.
Mm-hmm.
Women also need sex. I mean, if the truth be told, women need sex as well. But we don't look at it as sex. We look at it as making love.
Love.
You know, make love to me. Making love. You know, it's not as, with men, it's like sex. With women, it's like making love. So there's a difference, you know, but it's the same thing. And it's the same need. That need for intimate touch. God created us to come together and to touch each other, to be one. He said the two, God created sex. He said the two shall become one. So it's up to the man and the woman to make sure that they are coming together, husbands and wives, come together on a regular basis to meet her need for affection. She needs intimacy, and his need for sexual gratification. He needs sex. So it's important to come together on a regular basis to make sure that those needs are being met.
And Pastor, it's so key. I want to touch on the food thing, because we're in a generation where we're so busy, but every now and again, you gave me a good Super Bowl party on yesterday, but every now and again, my
just
wife...
Just me, you, and Kayla.
Yes, it's just three of us now. The boys are gone. Our oldest daughter's gone. It's just, we got one more left, and we'll have an empty nest after Kayla moves out. But my wife was always a great cook. And she'll say a man's way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Yes.
And our first date, she made me barbecue oxtails.
I think that was the last time.
Barbecue oxtails. They were delicious. But men, we ladies, it's a need. And sometimes when you cook for us, it just shows how much you love us. And when we sit down and get that good meal, it does something to us where we want to reciprocate that and give that back. But, Pastor, I want to change gears just a little bit here.
Well,
what
happened?
Okay, go ahead. Yes, yes, yes.
He just said something. They need a meal. So what we got to do, women, we have to know how to cook. We have to learn how to cook, and we have to be willing to cook. You know, you got a lot of women that don't want to cook.
Or don't know how to.
Right. So their cookbooks, their Facebook even has pages where they have recipes and they're teaching you how to cook. We have the internet where you can pull a recipe and you can learn how to cook. Ask your husband, what is your favorite meal? And then make that meal for him. You know, we're pastors, and the worst thing that could ever happen is some woman in the church bringing my husband a meal. Well, that's not happening. Because if you're going to bring him a meal, you're actually bringing both of us a meal. Because we're going to eat that meal together, you know. So I don't allow women to cook for my husband, you know. So it's just the thing as, and that's not insecurity again. It's making sure you take care and watch over your investment. This man is a big investment. I put a lot of work into it.
And brothers, let me just say this, brothers, as a very powerful hint, a very powerful suggestion. Your wife is not mama. We know mama made that mac and cheese a certain way. We know mom made your favorite cake for your birthday. We know mom could cook. I mean, your mom was a cook.
Yes.
But don't insult that wife when she tries to put her best banana pudding forward, her best effort forward. And you want to compare it and say, well, my mother never made it like that. It tastes like mama's. No, don't do that, brothers. Don't do that.
Oh, God.
We talked last time about communication and conflict resolution. And if you want an argument, go ahead and compare that cooking to mama's. You know, we got to watch. We just got to watch those areas. Those areas. But again, I want to shift real quick.
Go ahead, baby.
Now, what happens, because we used to teach a class called Roles, Goals, and Expectations.
Yes.
In other words, marriage has certain roles that the Bible talks about.
Yes.
There's certain goals that you have for your marriage. God says marriage is for godly offspring. It also shows that the church is the bride of Christ. But there were years ago when I was battling cancer where, guess what? My wife had to change gears, and I needed, in that season in my life, number one, a caregiver, and number two, one time she had to nurse me as I needed care when I could not care for myself.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing this real quick. One time I had a decatheter in my chest area, and one time it was a weekend where my wife had to, Deacon Carmen might like this, had to give me a needle. And Pastor Rebecca got built up because she knew I had a need, and she had to nurse me for that weekend. She had to be a caregiver for me in that season. Because when we take our vows for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, unfortunately, Pastor, like that movie with Queen Latifah and Common, I forgot the name of the movie, but he was this basketball player.
Oh, that's right.
Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright.
Mrs. Wright.
Y'all know the movie.
Yeah.
He was a basketball player that got hurt,
uh-huh.
And then his wife wanted nothing to do with him because he couldn't ball anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we hate to say it, but sometimes when that husband or that spouse can't be the person they used to be, that's not time to abandon ship. That's just a different need now that they have. I'm okay now, but in that season, my wife had to meet a certain need that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to shift gears to say certain times the needs shift.
That's right.
And certain times there's an adjustment in the marriage,
yes.
Wife, husband, you must make until God restores that marriage to what it used to be.
Yes.
That's as far as intimacy, sex,
yes.
And what the marriage used to be. When that husband or that wife may take on a sickness or a disease or something happened financially, that alters the relationships. Now the needs have changed.
And that is so important. I see you, Darlene. God bless you. I thank God that you're being blessed by the information that we're sharing. I see you, Wilmont Gibson. We see you out there. God bless you. Pastor Tisha, we see you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. It's just so important. And I want to just talk about that sickness thing. The Bible says, our marriage vows say it's sickness and in health.
That's right.
Death do us part.
So
when we're sick, and I know Pastor Tisha can relate to this, because her husband took care of her when she was sick with COVID last year. You know, and you took care of me. We took care of each other when we had COVID. And we thank God for healing us from COVID-19.
That's right.
But the thing about it is when you think about sickness, sometimes when you're thinking about sickness or when your spouse is sick, there will be no sex.
Come on, let's talk. We're going to talk tonight.
Okay. And I believe that's why, for the single people who are watching, that's why God teaches us not to fornicate, not to have sex before we get married. Because it's practice. Because in marriage, as much as we would like to think we're going to do the wild thing every night, as much as we would like to believe that and think that that's what's going to be happening every night, that is an untruth. Nobody is in the mood for sex, I don't believe, unless they're, you know, have a sex thing every night.
Have a few kids.
Yeah, you know, and the kids, you get the kids up. And, you know, you a lot of stuff interrupts the activity, amen, in the bedroom, amen. And sometimes when you are sick or when your spouse is sick, that is going to be the time when there will be limited activity between the sheets at night in the bedroom. So other than some tossing and turning while you hold your flesh down because your spouse can't have sex with you because they're sick or they're going through some changes. And then there's cycles in a marriage. You know, when you're young in marriage, you know, it's on the
list.
As you get to be a little bit older, you know, we're going to schedule it. Then as you get to be a little bit older than that, it's like, oh, my father. Who needs it?
Let's travel.
Let's go around the world. Let's get something to eat. Let's do something, you know, let's go shopping. So it gets to
point. That's good,
yes.
Because we got to keep it real.
Yes.
And we, again, we're talking about solutions.
Yes.
Men, if you need to
yes.
see a urologist, do that.
Yes.
If there are things that can be fixed, ladies, do that. We have to exhaust and utilize every option available to keep the marriage bed hot.
Oh.
The Bible says the marriage is honored by all and the marriage bed undefiled.
Yes.
But as Pastor said, sometimes there are things that happen that are unavoidable.
Yeah.
Again, I went through a traumatic experience with my health. Thank God things are okay now. But there are times where, again, my wife, you know, when I just did not have the strength and I could not eat, and I even when I came home, I was not myself. Couldn't work at FedEx. Couldn't do the things I used to do. So in those seasons, you do got to exhaust every option available. That's counseling.
Yes.
That's therapy.
Yes.
That's psychology
yes.
and psychiatrists
yes.
and counselors. Don't let your marriage go
yes.
just because it's not what it used to be. Exhaust every option to meet his needs and her needs always.
Yeah, and just because a man needs sex, and if that man, I'm talking to the men, if your wife is just coming out of having her baby or on bed rest because she's carrying your child or just had surgery and she cannot satisfy your sexual needs, you have to know how to hold yourself down. That's not a time to go out and get another woman.
No.
And the same thing for the woman. If your man can't, your husband can't satisfy your intimate sexual needs, that's not the time to start lusting after, you know, the man in the next cubicle
or
on
pornography
the job, or even turn into pornography for either man or male or female, because contrary to popular belief, women are watching pornography as well. So that's not the time to go outside of your marriage in any way, even with masturbation. That's not the time to go outside of your marriage in any way to try to fulfill a sexual need. That's the time for you to pray and fast and pray and believe God to keep that flesh under, which goes back to what I was saying earlier, that if you practice celibacy while you're single, you have learned how to put your flesh under subjection and make it your slave, as opposed to you being the slave of your flesh.
That's so powerful, because we got to understand, even as you just said that thought, we have to be so mindful.
Yeah.
Because there are so many times we can leave without leaving. You can leave and check out of the marriage without literally leaving the marriage. So we got to be there. That's why I said his needs, her needs. What about that mental need where the conversation is stimulating? And you're talking
That's
about
good.
The ministry, you're talking
That's
about
good.
Money, you're talking about your future. Like with us, we're at that stage, our daughter's going to get her master's degree. We're not having that conversation like when they were in daycare, in high school, in college. Now we're talking about our retirement maybe 5 years from now. Will we have time to travel with each other?
Yeah.
So guess what? Mentally, my wife has always read books. Now I have a love affair for books. And sometimes, even with all this political stuff going on, we have stimulating conversations, and we're talking and bouncing ideas off each other. And you need that. She and I have a great dialogue, and you need a great dialogue with that spouse, with that husband, with
yeah.
that wife.
Yeah.
Keep that conversation going. And, Pastor, even dealing with our issues,
mm-hmm.
our emotional needs to be met.
Yes.
And
yeah.
sometimes, before you get to a therapist, before you get to somebody that's a professional, husband, there is something you can say to that wife that can bring resolve to maybe something that happened way back when in her life.
Two words. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm talking about the weightier issues.
Oh, you say something that could
yeah,
bring.
Yeah, his needs, her needs. In other words,
resolve.
In other words, when you bring an issue into a marriage, mm-hmm. like with us, 7 years into our marriage, my wife disclosed something to me that in that stage I was ready for. And we remedied it, we got solutions for it, and we came and fixed it. Sometimes we're each other's therapists. We got to talk to each other. We got to mentor each other. We got to minister to one another. We're each other's first ministry.
Yes, yes.
And you got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, she's crying, brothers, and you're thinking it's something you did.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not nothing you've done.
Yes.
And maybe that's the time she want to become vulnerable and say, listen, this thing has been on me. I want to share this with me because I see your intense love for me. I want to share this with you because I see your intense love for me, and I've never opened up to anybody about this.
Yeah.
So that can become another need that needs to be met, where that marriage is not all it can be, because guess what? Things are still hitting and things are still under the surface.
Yeah, and that's good. His needs, her needs. This is a good one. Both the husband and the wife need each other to be whole.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
To be healed.
Right.
You know, in order to go on, in order to have a successful marriage, we have to make sure that we're dealing with our issues. Amen. Deal with your issues before you get married. Deal with your issues once
while
you're married. That's, he's talking about issues that I have from childhood. The fact that I have been molested.
I had issues too.
He didn't even know. He had issues. He was mean. He was just mean as a junkyard dog, and I thought I was mean. But we both had issues. We both came in with baggage, and we had to unpack our baggage in the marriage when we should have done it before we got married.
Right.
But 7 years of just going through the gates of hell, coming against our marriage, finally I was able to face my issues because I couldn't share with him until I faced them. I had to face my own issues and then begin to tell him, look, the reason I'm so mean is because I'm still dealing with the hurt from the pain of my past.
Right.
And I had to deal with it. I want to say that because I said molestation, I'm going to tell women everywhere, men everywhere, if you've been molested, it wasn't your fault. Those words are so magical to know it wasn't your fault. We're not going to state it, but I need you to hear that tonight. And I had to hear it. I had to deal with it. I had to share with my husband, and he affirmed me. What did you say when I talked to you?
What?
When I told you what had happened and why I was going through what I was going through, and the devil said, don't tell him because he's not going to love you.
Well, I know. You can put me on the spot. I don't.
You forgot. You forgot. Tell the truth. You forgot.
I forgot. I've said so much in that season, but I remember the conversation. I was going to work one morning, and she said, you don't care, you don't love me or something. You don't really know me, and then we begin to talk.
Right. Come on.
It was early in the morning, right before work, where she disclosed this. So sometimes the time is not perfect. But, brothers, one of the things I want to share with you as we're talking about this subject, sometimes that insecurity is not nothing you've done.
Yeah.
But every dude she had cheated on her.
Right.
I'm saying, just hypothetically speaking.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
Hypothetically speaking.
Like,
no, sometimes when that woman comes into the relationship and she's checking your phone and she's feeling insecure and she's monitoring and trying to track your
hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetically speaking, she has to build that trust up. You know, I want to trust you to the degree that I need to trust you, but I've been hurt before. I've been betrayed before.
I have been betrayed.
So I have trouble in this area of trust.
Yeah.
And as we build that trust up, now we can get to the place of stabilizing and a solid foundation in our marriage, because guess what? We're trusting each other because we built that trust up.
That's good.
And my wife has done that, and I've done that. I've been accountable over the years in our marriage. I've been reliable.
Yeah.
Not a lot of secrecy.
Yeah.
And guess what? All that
a lot
feels...
of secrecy. Tell me your secrets, darling.
Well, like I said.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad she has a great sense of humor.
You can't tell yourself everything. You know, and basically some things your spouse can't handle.
Right. Not everything.
Just can't handle. You know, if some man is flirting with you and
you don't disclose everything.
You don't have to come home and say, you know,
this guy hitting on me at work.
Handle it. You know, your husband, and if you know that he can't handle that, if he may be a little bit jealous. You know, you don't come home and feed that jealous demon. You know, the same thing with a woman. You know, a man, if a woman comes and says, oh, you're so strong, and I love a man with muscles, that might even touch him, he better not come home and tell me that. He better handle it. He better handle it so that it doesn't happen again. You know, and that's the thing. So I don't need to know everything.
And all that builds trust.
Yeah.
Whether the spouse is present or not.
Yeah.
Or, how you conduct yourself outside of her eyes. How you handle yourself outside of his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you was a big flirt before, ladies,
wow,
you got to bring that in.
Wow.
If you're used to getting attention from the men, it's time to bring that in.
Yeah.
Y'all know how y'all can walk to get that attention. You know how you can dress to get that attention.
Yeah.
You're married now. And sometimes those insecurities.
That's how we can walk. That's funny.
Those insecurities, sometimes that jealousy and that envy comes in. Because we keep leaving those doors open, and God is saying, close those doors. And, guys, I want to talk, before we get off tonight, about that spiritual need. Now, you and I invited my wife to church. And from day one, it's just been a part of,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Pastor.
It's been a part of who we are. Church has helped us so much in those earlier years of dating, as we were newlyweds in marriage. Now that we're a seasoned married couple, we're still involved in the church. And sometimes, maybe I'm talking to somebody, you go and your spouse don't go.
Mm-hmm.
She go to church and you don't go to church. He go to church and you don't go to church. Sometimes we need that spiritual need where I can pray for my wife. I need prayer. I'm going through, my kids are going through, I'm going through at work. Pray for me.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual need. Where you can cover her brother in prayer.
Yeah.
Wife, you can cover him. You know he's being harassed at the job. You know pressure is being on him to hold it down as the provider, the priest, the protector. He needs prayer. He just lost his job. His self-esteem is a little damaged.
Yeah.
He needs prayer. We need each other, and we need to get a prayer through for one another every now and again. So spiritual can be a need as well.
Absolutely, and that's a good point. If your spouse stops going to church and you're the only one going to church, hold your spouse down in prayer. You know, it's so important. Prayer is more powerful than nagging.
Wow.
We talked about it last week. A man would rather live on the roof than in the house with a nagging
woman, and what?
A cantankerous
You
know. So it's important. Sometimes to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. You know, pray. Pray for that husband. Pray. Even with a woman. That woman needs you, husband, to be praying. When my husband and I are arguing a lot, what I say to him is, are you praying for me?
She'll say that in a minute. Have you been praying for me?
Yeah.
Because certain spirits try to get in our home.
Yeah.
Certain spirits come on us, and she'd be like, I sense you have not been praying for me the way you should be praying for me.
Yeah.
And she's right. And when you're discerning, when your spiritual antenna is up, you know that husband have not been praying for you the way he should be praying for you. You know that wife is not covering you, submitting one to another like she should be covering you. Because all of a sudden you're arguing over stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff. And let me tell you something. We got to go. What time is it? It's
8:54.
We have a few more minutes. But let me tell you something. Your marriage will come up under intense warfare. The more that you pray, the more that you walk on one accord, the more that you go through sessions, and I call sessions like this vitamins for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not really telling you anything that you don't know. You know, we're sharing information. And it's our prayer that something will hit your marriage, something will hit you to make you say, you know what, I can work on my marriage. I can do a little bit more. I can keep my anger under. I could forgive.
Mm-hmm.
That's another need, to forgive. As you come through spiritual warfare, you're going to be at each other's throats at times. There are times when the enemy will get in your marriage and have you fighting each other. That's why it's so important for you to pray. That's why it's so important for you to have times of fasting. It's important for you to be reading the word every day, because that warfare is going to come and it's going to hit you. Be built up spiritually so that you can fight, not like this, but you can fight back to back and have your sword out against anything that will try to come against your marriage.
The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Yes.
And Pastor, this is so key.
Yes.
Don't find out what each other need and neglect it.
Yeah.
It's one thing for her to disclose her need. It's another thing for you, man, to fulfill it.
Yeah.
Ladies, it's one thing to say, you know, every now and again I need a good meal. It's another thing for you to fulfill that.
Yeah.
So let's not just dialogue, have a deep heart-to-heart conversation, find out what each other need, and neglect that need.
Exactly.
You have to go above and beyond to meet that need and to make that a happy home.
Yeah.
Marriage is work.
Oh.
The hardest work you'll probably ever do in your life. Harder than ministry.
Hard.
Harder than being a pastor.
Man.
Harder than a career. Marriage is work.
Work. Work. And it's not going to be a perfect marriage. We don't have a perfect marriage.
No.
We argue. We argue, and he gets on my nerves.
Her last nerve. And she got one more. She always have one. She always find one more.
Because I have to. But we do argue, and we don't get along all the time, but we go and we take a chill pill. We talked about that last time. Go somewhere and take a chill
time
pill.
Out, yeah.
And this is key. As we go off the air tonight, you got to forgive.
Wow. Come on.
You have to forgive. Listen. Listen, Linda. Listen. You have to forgive.
Let it go.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry and sin not. Be slow to anger. Slow to speak. Quick to listen. All of these scriptures are there to let us know, look, we got to forgive. How many times? Over and over and over and over and over again. You got to forgive. You have to forgive. As long as, you know, and we're not even going to go into criteria. If it gets too bad, go to counseling. But the thing about it is if you're going to be together, if you're going to be together, if it's not a deal breaker and you're getting, we'll talk about that next time, and it's not getting ready going, leading to something drastic, forgive. Forgiveness will keep you out of divorce court. Forgive. You have to forgive.
And issues don't have time to stay alive and become a cancer in your marriage.
Yeah.
So if he never gave you flowers and he's trying now to start, don't say, oh, now you want to. No.
Yeah.
Forgive.
Yeah.
We can't go back and change the past.
Yeah.
But today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
First day of the rest
of your
life.
So if he's putting forth an effort now to tone it down and not speak to you in such a harsh voice, take this one.
Appreciate the effort. Appreciate
if she's
effort.
Not cussing you out anymore, appreciate that.
Appreciate the effort. As long as they're trying.
Yeah.
Appreciate the effort. Somebody write that in the chat. Appreciate the effort. We'll leave you with that. Appreciate the effort that's being put forth by your
spouse. Start today.
Start today to make the changes to make your marriage better. Start today to do what you can do. Don't go to your spouse and say, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Emily said it, you need to do this and you need to do that. No, you do what you need to do to make your marriage better.
That's your marriage. This is our marriage.
No, I'm saying you do it. Don't go to your spouse telling your spouse what to do. You have this information now. You've been armed with information, and now you can go and you can put this into practice in your marriage. And don't worry about your spouse. Give them the recording. Let them listen to the recording. And then they can take responsibility to do what they're going to do. And if the two of you are doing what you need to do, then you can make your marriage work.
And I'm going to tell you, when that happens, when you're meeting each other's needs and you're not going around feeling deficient,
woo,
get ready, get ready, get ready.
Get ready, get ready.
Get ready, get ready, get ready.
Yeah.
So get ready.
So it is 10:01, okay, and we are at the end of this hour. This hour went fast.
Real fast. And we have so much more to cover on this topic because, again, it's a huge topic. And there's so many other scenarios that, again, your specific things are for you and your spouse to work out in detail. Have that conversation, that heart-to-heart, and meet those needs.
And I see Vonda. Hey, Vonda, I see you, sis. She's been married almost 40 years. Oh. My sister, my brother's wife, yeah. My sister has been married. She's my sister in love, has been married almost 40 years. So she could teach us about marriage. I see you, sis. I love you. What did you just say last? What was the last thing you said?
No, once you meet, you're not walking around deficient, not walking around feeling void and empty, that marriage is going to go to a whole nother level.
Yes, that's what I want to say to you. Homework. Somebody say homework. Homework. Go, even if you think you know, go to your spouse and say, honey, what is your greatest need in this season from me?
Wow. At this stage in your marriage, yeah.
Because we don't know what it was last year or when you first got married. Seasonal. Needs are seasonal.
And they change.
And they change. So, honey, what is your greatest need in this season from me? What can I do to make you a happier husband? What can I do to make you a happier wife?
Right.
And take that and run with it. Mm-hmm. Do it. You know,
just one thing.
If they want you to hang to the chandeliers and the leopard skin bikini, just make sure that the house can handle all of that. But whatever they need, see if you can meet that need. See if you can meet that need. Amen. Praise God. So that's your homework on tonight, to find out your husband's, your wife's greatest needs and need it.
There's a great opportunity coming up Sunday.
Oh, I see my brother here, Gary.
All right, yes, hi. Gary, my brother, yes.
I was just talking about you.
And one of the reasons we wanted to do this in the month of February, Bay, is that Valentine's Day is Sunday.
Oh, is this Sunday?
Are you listening, man? The 14th is Sunday. We'll be on next Monday.
Yes.
That's after Valentine's Day.
Yes.
But it's a wonderful time. Maybe you've been buying the wrong kind of chocolates, and she finally told you she liked Russell Stover's, and you've been buying Cadbury. But whatever it is, you know, let's make this Valentine's Day a special one this year. Everything that's been happening in 2020 and 2021, let's make Valentine's Day special this year for each other.
Amen. Well, we're going to go, and we're going to pray for all of the marriages out here. Pastor, I will ask you to go ahead and pray.
Father, I'm not going to pray. Father, we thank you tonight, even as we talked about his needs and her needs.
Yes, Lord.
God, we realize that even as you said, the two shall become one.
Yes.
That, God, there are things still being revealed about one another, God. There's still things being disclosed about one another. And, God, even those things, those unmet needs that maybe we have been dealing with, unmet needs, God, I believe by faith, that they will be resolved.
Yeah.
I believe by faith that marriage that we spoke to tonight is going to another level in you.
Mm.
God, I believe by faith,
yeah,
if that marriage has hit a pit stop and a pitfall, that God, you will restore it back where the fires and the love for one another will be restored in a mighty strong way.
Yeah.
The affection and the pull for one another in a mighty strong way.
Yeah.
So, God, I pray for every marriage. Hallelujah. Even if it's been struggling, that God, tonight it has been restored.
Yeah.
I'm praying for every marriage.
Yes.
Even if it's been a happy marriage, that tonight it will be even happier.
Yes.
Even if you've had a good marriage,
yes,
it's going to get gooder.
Good.
So, yes, God, I thank you for marriage because you ordained marriage.
Yes.
So, God, we bless and we speak life to every couple, God. We bind up anything that's trying to cause division and discord. And, God, I pray that the love that they have one for another will never cease.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Well, God bless you all. We're
God
so
bless.
Happy that you joined us and took your time out of your schedule. Tag and share. Let somebody know about Marriage Mondays. We are anticipating being here all month. So we'll see you next Monday at 9 o'clock. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Praise God. And again, thank you for coming. So God bless you. We'll see you next week. Again, spread the word and like the Make Your Marriage and Relationships Work page. We love you. Good night.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Thank you.
Hmm?